We've been talking for the last three messages that I preached on being a Christ follower, and I'm going to wrap this up in our minds by reminding myself and us of the sacrifice that Christ made for us and how in our lives we could meet Him in that sacrifice. We can meet Him in the things that He did for us, and we can prove our lives once again. Because, you know, I see it so often in the world. There are so many people who claim to be Christians, so many people who claim to go to church, and yet they don't stop. They don't do anything in their lives. I just read a post from a kid way back when I was a youth pastor in Bastrop. I'm riding on the road, and I see this kid walking along, and he was about 14 years old, and I didn't know where he was going. I don't even remember right now in my mind if I knew who he was when I seen him, but I stopped, and I picked him up, and I brought him home, and he started coming to church, and he just made a statement yesterday or Friday that he was heading to work, and while heading to work, he saw a really bad wreck. And so he immediately stopped his vehicle. He went and ran to the scene of the wreck to make sure. I think, if I remember the details of the wreck correctly, the 18-wheeler had actually turned sideways and split in half and hit two other vehicles. And so he ran and he went to the scene and he tried to make sure everybody was okay. The lady who had the most damage, her foot was actually somehow or another lodged under a pedal. And so they just left her alone so the EMTs or whatever could come. And people were commenting. He was mad because as he passed by, all of the people that were slowing down, taking pictures and causing more of a scene instead of worrying about somebody that genuinely could have been hurt. God has asked, in some of the comments that happened, and the reason why I was getting at this is because we're talking about being a sacrifice. And some of the comments was, after he made this big old rant about people being worried about taking pictures and slowing down and looking at it and all of this kind of stuff, it was like, well, you could have been fired. You don't know what these people are going through. They could have been going to the hospital. They could have been on a job and trying to get from place to place, and they could have gotten fired if they would have stopped. And he was like, who cares? This is somebody's life. If I had to sacrifice a job because my employer doesn't understand that somebody could have been killed and I could have helped them, then I don't need that job. If somebody couldn't understand that I was going to be late for an appointment, and it just compounded the fact that our lives in so many different ways should be sacrificial. Our lives is not our own. We can look around and I see kids. We sacrifice for our kids. And I've heard it said, and it's compounded more each and every day, that we only think we sacrifice them when they're this age. We sacrifice them a whole lot more when they get out of the house and when they go and do other things. And even when they're grandkids or nieces or nephews, we're always in a mode of sacrifice. I have a few points this morning that's going to bring us into that fact, and I'm gonna wrap this thing up by remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made. But my first point today is that we must sacrifice ourselves. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. One of the pastors that was at a church that I pastored, he had already left. I heard stories of this man that he would actually walk the interstate. He would walk the streets of the city with a big old 10, 12-foot cross on his back. Now, he cheated a little bit because he put a wheel on the back so it would make it a little bit easier to drag around. But he walked around the interstate, and he walked around the streets, with this big old cross. And people would stop and ask him if he was crazy. They would stop and want him to pray for them. They would stop and ask him why he was doing this. Carrying a cross is not easy. Have you ever considered? I don't even have a cross in here that I can grab. You ever considered? I think it's outside. It's in the back. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We have to start at the place as a child of God that our life is not our own. We can't make all of the decisions. We can't determine the overall theme. I'm grateful as I read this and as I wrote this. Initially, when I wrote this, I said that we have no control over our lives, or it was some thought along that line that we didn't, we had to just completely submit. But I'm grateful that God allows us to be who we are. I'm grateful that God allows us to work in the industry that He has given us the talent. He allows us to make decisions in the people that we deal with and the way that we handle situations. He allows us to move and to go and to travel and to do all sorts of things. But the overall theme of what our life is supposed to be is not supposed to be wrapped up in that stuff. The theme of my life is not to be a preacher. It's to glorify Him. It's to bring Him honor, to bring Him recognition, to do what He's asked me to do. It's not to be just a father. It's not just to be whatever it is that I'm doing in the time. It is to give Him glory and to lift Him up. I'm supposed to deny myself. The Bible says that I was bought at a price. And because I've been bought at a price, I then therefore must honor Him with my body, with who I am. Anybody ever bought something for something that it wasn't designed to be used for? I was trying to pull a pulley or something off of a wash machine. And they have this whole pulley, this whole system thing that you could buy a tool that was like $100. And it would kind of be like a bearing puller. You know, little bitty things, and they have a pin in the middle, and you screw it on all thread rod or whatever and suck this thing out. And I didn't want to spend that much money. I went and bought a PVC cap. I bought about a 2-foot piece of all thread rod, some nuts, and some other stuff, and it was just a funny looking contraption, but it did the job. Right? You ever see somebody with a piece of rope as a belt or something like that? You never know what in the world, what you could be used for, but the reality is when you buy something, when you have the money and you invest in something, you could do whatever you want to do with it. It's all yours. I bought my kids a wagon actually I bought Brandon a wagon, my nephew that I had custody of 150 years ago. That thing has hauled wood, dirt, cement. It's probably held junk more than it's held kids. Because it's mine. The Bible says that we've been bought at a price. That means Jesus can do what He wants to do with us when He wants to do it with us. He can speak through us. He can use us. He can teach us things. He can allow us to go through an embarrassing situation. He can do whatever it is that He wants to do with us. And we can try and claim that we are made for this or we are made for that, but we don't have the ultimate say-so. He can do what He wants to do with us. We were bought at a price. We must sacrifice ourselves. And you know, sometimes carrying the cross in our lives, it can be so rewarding. Has there ever been a moment when you can remember in your life that you've just been proud as a Christian? proud as a child of God, proud of the accomplishments or the things that you've been able to do, or the man, I could see some of the people that God has put in my life that have grown up under me in ministry, that I've been able to teach and to disciple and to grow, that's still in church, that's still productive members of the places where they live and the places that they go, and some of which are actually in ministry today. And I am proud that I can say that I've served God for these years in these places, and these are the people that have walked under me that now walk beside me. Sometimes carrying a cross can be awful proud, but sometimes carrying that cross can be quite a burden. We don't always go through the things that we want to go through. We don't always deal with the things that we want to deal with, but the reality is we always come to a place to sacrifice ourselves. Why? Because Jesus did it. Remember, He left heaven for you. Say that to me. Say that to yourself right now. Jesus left heaven for me. Just for me. And I don't say it in pride or in any other thing, but I believe that if I was the only one that was ever going to die and go to hell, He would have came down out of heaven and died on the cross to live the same life so that He could just save me. He's gone through it. He's been through it. He sacrificed Himself. Some of the ways that He sacrificed Himself are some of the things that we must also do. Our relationships, the tendencies that we have, the preferences that we tend to move towards have to be sacrificed. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciples. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do you really think that Jesus meant that you needed to hate everybody around you? No. It's actually a fact. If any of the people that was listening to Jesus preach would have actually hated his mother or father or wife or kids or brothers or sisters or anybody else, they would have been in direct violation of the law that they were still under. But what Jesus was saying was, there's no relationship on earth that you'll ever have that should ever come before me. Following Jesus is a sacrifice. Sometimes we have to do things, sometimes we have to go places, sometimes we have to say things that we don't necessarily want to do, and we have to lay aside the relationships that we might feel that we want to foster, that we might want to grow, that we might want to do in order to do what Jesus told us to do. And I'm going to tell you right now that there have been times when God has asked me to do something, and I knew that it was going to jeopardize the relationship that was there, but He didn't back down from His stance. There are times in our lives when we're going to have to stand up, that we cannot allow lies and deceit to stay. We cannot allow things that go against what Scripture says. We have to stand up for the Word of God, and that's part of the problem in the world today. There's not enough people that are willing to stand up. There are plenty of people who will stand up for all of the wrong things, and it's estimated probably 1%, if even that, will stand up against the wrong things while all the rest of them just kind of sit back and say nothing at all and go with the flow. How many of you know the gospel? The gospel can hurt people's feelings. The gospel will step on your toes right now. The Bible is very confrontational. It's very controversial when you think of what the world lives and how they want to respond to things. But it's very black and white. There's not a gray area. The Bible, God stands where He stands, and we need to stand where He stands. We need to call wrong, wrong, right, right. If anyone doesn't hate all of those relationships, there's not a person in this world that could ever overshadow, that could ever stand beside Jesus Christ in your life. The loyalty that you have for Him must be higher than any other loyalty that you could ever have. You remember the time when Jesus was preaching? He was in a home. The home was overcrowded. There were people standing around outside. And Mary and his brothers and sisters walk up to the house and they say, "Hey, Jesus, your brothers and your mother, they're outside." What did He say? "Who are my brothers? Who are my brothers? Who is my mother?" Those who listen to the Word of God. Those who are right here listening. Those who are right in the place where they're supposed to be. Jesus, in the midst of His ministry, took precedence over those who followed after God than those who were just blood. He didn't forget about His mom, because on the cross He looked at John and He said, "Hey, you need to take care of her. Hey, you need to make sure that y'all are together." But we have to make sure our loyalties are where they're supposed to be. What's another way that we're supposed to sacrifice ourselves? Our own conveniences. The way that we feel about things. Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 35. Jesus is telling a parable. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." It's not always convenient. It's not always the thing that you want to do. It's not always the way that you want to feel about something. Some of these things that He says right here, it might be easy for you to do, and some of these things might be difficult. But basically, the whole of this little statement that Jesus makes in the midst of this parable is, "I had a need and you filled it. I've had people who I know had the means to be able to help, but because in their minds they worked hard for their money, took a lot of time for them to have, they wouldn't even help a little bit. I've known people who could waste countless hours watching TV, playing video games, playing golf, fishing, hunting, whatever, who doesn't have time to go to church, who doesn't have time to go and visit somebody, to see somebody. I've known people who refuse to even attempt to go to different types of places where they can minister, like a nursing home or a prison or a hospital or visiting someone at their house or maybe children's ministry or youth ministry type things, whatever it is, because they say that's not really what I like to do. What needs do you see around us? What need do you see around you? I was in Lowe's parking lot this past week. I was about 15 minutes away from my kids. They were at a drama practice. All of the other kids had already left, and we was running late. Get in the van. I already know that the kids are waiting for us. I already know everybody else has left. They're at somebody else's house. We have to hurry up and get there. As I get in the vehicle and I look in the mirror to go to start backing up, there's an elderly gentleman sitting on the ground and two older ladies trying to pick him up. Didn't even tell Dana and what I was doing or whatever. Threw the vehicle back in park and just took off running. Didn't know if he had passed out, if he was dying, if he had a heart attack, what was going on. Turned out his right knee had just given out and they couldn't lift him back up. And so I put his underarm on my back and I squatted him up and got him standing and make sure that he was secure. Somebody else had got there after me and brought him a basket so he can get to his vehicle without a problem. Sometimes we have to inconvenience ourselves, maybe even inconvenience somebody else because of something that we're not expecting. We're not really a part of. It was a challenge, and I've said this before, it was a challenge the first time I went into the prison because all I heard was stories of that big metal gate slamming behind you and you stuck in there. And all of us have watched a movie or a documentary somewhere along the way about prison riots and all of this kind of stuff, and that's all I thought about. But I went. There are certain things that I don't know necessarily that I really like to do, but I still do it because it's necessary, because God has put me in a place where that is what I'm supposed to do. Because there are people who are in need. Jesus saw the need that you and I had, and he gave up his life. He sacrificed himself. It wasn't convenient. Do you think for a second that it was convenient for him to be ridiculed and scorned? Do you think for a moment that he enjoyed the beating that he took before he was hung on the cross? Before, and I always go to these graphic details of the conditions of Jesus. But have you ever had an open sore? And you put a bandage on it, or something happens and you have clothes and they stick to it. He was beaten with a whip, with glass and metal or whatever they had in these ropes. He was ripped to shreds. They couldn't recognize him. He was beat so bad. And then on top of that, they put a crown on his head and they put a robe on him and had to take that robe off before they put him on the cross. Can't even imagine. Sacrifice. Not convenient. Not convenient to be hung on a cross with nails in my hands and in my feet, drowning because the fluid building up in my lungs, suffocating. But he did it because I was in need. One more for us today before I start bringing this to a close. Our attitude and our words must be sacrificed. Two different scriptures that I'm going to read real quickly. Proverbs 22:24 says, "Do not associate with a man given to anger or go with a hot-tempered man." Ecclesiastes 5:6 says, "Do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake." Do not associate with a man who's given to anger, who do not associate with someone who can't control his own emotions and his own temper. And don't let your speech cause you to sin. You got to control yourself. If you say this, then I don't apologize for saying it from the pulpit. I'm tired of hearing Christians say OMG. I'm just sick of it. And they say it all the time because it's some popular thing, and they put it in text messages just as the initials, or they might actually say, "Oh my, that's taking the Lord's name in vain." We don't pay attention to the words that we say. Not only in maybe the coarseness of them, maybe in profanity side, maybe in taking the Lord's name in vain, but we also tend to say things that we shouldn't say. We complain, we talk negatively, we speak about all the woe is me stuff, all of the junk. We have to make sure that our words, our attitudes, the way that we act, the tendencies of our heart, the thoughts that we have, everything must go to God and into the promise that we have in Him. There's nothing that can come against us that'll prosper. Doesn't matter if I have cancer, it doesn't matter if I have a heart attack, it doesn't matter if some terrible thing, there's nothing that can come against me that God has not already ordained for my life that I cannot stand up against. It doesn't matter if I made a mistake, it doesn't matter if it happened by accident, if it just came along through the course of, it doesn't matter at all. I have to keep myself in check and recognize and understand that the words that I speak, one day I'm going to have to answer for. The ways that I act, one day I'm going to stand before God, and He is going to call me to account for every single thing that I've done. How many times could Jesus have stood against, have spoken against, have said something out of line with what God had for His life and the way that He should have lived? Not only must we control ourselves, we shouldn't even hang around with those who act in that way. God made us in His image. God spoke things into existence. And because of those two facts, our words matter. The things that we say matter. The ways that we act matters. Here's the truth. Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. How many times have we quoted that in church? How many times have we quoted that in our lives? He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How many of you would agree with me that he is stolen, he's destroyed, and he's killed enough in your life? He's deceived me enough. He's talked me into things enough. He's come against me enough. He's ruined things in my life enough. That's all he's here for. That's all he does. But it goes on to say that Jesus came that we could have a life. And not just life, but life abundantly. I wish I had things in abundance. Right? How many of you wish when you go to the buffet or to the restaurant or to your house, instead of you having to have just a little bitty portion and a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and a whole lot of salad, you could just have anything you want in abundance. Right? How many of you wish that something would happen in life and you'd have to go and pay for something or replace something and you could just think, I'm not worried about that. I can cover that without a problem. Right? How many of you wish that you could wake up and you would just feel so strong and pain-free and vibrant, and your thoughts are together, and abundance. God has come that we can live abundantly. Now, the reality is that some of those things we might not necessarily have, but I think that we find our joy and our peace and our contentment in Him, and everything else just falls into place. That He allows everything else to be where Jesus came, that we would have life, and He would give us life abundantly. He's given us the chance that we can call Him our brother and sister, that we can call each other brother and sister. He has something in mind for our lives that is so great that He was willing to sacrifice 33 years of His life to do what God wanted Him to do. He sacrificed every second of every minute of every hour of His life. He sacrificed the tendencies in His flesh that we fail in so that He can stand before God as the perfect sacrifice. So that one day He can look down 2016 and He can see us and He can say, oh yeah, I know that Sue Kelly. I know that Joey Roselle. They're mine. That Justin Cotton, he's on my side. He did it all for you and I. He sacrificed Himself because He loved us that much. My last scripture and I'm closing. This needs to be our prayer. This needs to be our motto, our mantra, the thing that we leave this place with. It's found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says to the church in Galatia, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Have you been crucified with Christ? Who is it that's living within you? What does your life look like this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed.